Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, November 3rd, 2011. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill, who's taking a long weekend in Santa Fe and probably getting snowed on, and he would deserve that. We are live with the Buckmaster Show, noon to one here on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and with our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. And the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previously aired programs. The Buckmaster Show can also be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service, and starting this week, you can also find the show at TucsonCitizen.com. Our lineup for today includes a leadoff interview about how algae production may prove to become an economic driver in Tucson and in Southern Arizona and in the United States and maybe even in the world. About 20 past the hour, an update on the Tucson Boys Chorus and the big event that they have coming up. And about half past noon, we'll have a conversation with Dr. John Arnold of Project PPEP. We encourage you to be a part of the conversation, too, by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line if you're in the Tucson dialing area at 790-2040, or you can call toll-free if you're not in the Tucson dialing area at 866-725-5467. That's 866-725-5467. And if that isn't enough, you can also email your questions to thebuckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show's Facebook page. Well, I have in front of me Randy Ryan with the University of Arizona's algae program. It seems like it should be a bit more highfalutin title than that, but it's the algae program. And I also have a bag full of algae. Thank you for bringing it. It looks delicious. No, not really. This is algae, which is produced by the program, which eventually is sort of the feedstock for a petroleum fuel. And how do you convert this into petroleum? What's the story on this?
Well, the conversion is not really a complicated process, but it's not really very simple either. The algae is extracted from the biomass, kind of like what you would do for peanuts or soybeans or any of those types of things. And you can do a chemical extraction process. You can use a mechanical press and press the oil from it. Or you can use more sophisticated methods that would use what they call supercritical fluids, which is liquid carbon dioxide that acts as a solvent to extract the oils.
How long has the program been around at the University of Arizona?
Here at the University of Arizona, they've been working on algae for about 3 years, and our program has really been intensively addressing algae production for the last 2 years.
And the program, the production facility is located where?
Our production facility right now, our field production facility, is located at Roger and Campbell at the Campus Agricultural Center.
Okay, so you take this stuff that looks like mud, essentially, and you produce a fuel from it. What's the fuel like? Is it ethanol or is it like biodiesel?
Well, it's the composition when you extract it directly from the algae is the same as you would see corn oil in the supermarket. And so it's called a triglyceride. And has a small molecule of glycerin attached to a backbone, which has three fingers, essentially, of fatty acids.
That's not the kind of thing I'd want to ask my bartender for, three fingers.
Yeah, it's probably.
Pour me three fingers of fatty acids, barkeep. How do you see algae production taking over fuel production, particularly petroleum production, and reducing our reliance? There's a whole bunch of drivers for this kind of program, aren't there?
Yeah, there are a lot of drivers. World peak oil production is dropping. That's one of the drivers here. I think economically, if we kept some of the trillions of dollars $1 trillion that are spent on oil overseas at home, that would greatly boost our own economy and really radically change rural production and agricultural production as well. There's also security issues. We don't have to go and fight over oil. We could produce a large component of it at home. And then there's also the issue that arises about whether or not global warming is affecting our environment. Algae oil production is not going to continue to pour carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. It does put carbon dioxide in the atmosphere when you burn it, but then you remove the same carbon dioxide that you put in.
By growing the algae?
Yeah, the algae eat carbon dioxide, essentially.
Anybody who has a pool in their backyard knows that you can grow algae in Arizona, but how about the commercial scale? How do you ramp this up at the commercial scale?
That's really a great question. We've invented a new technology called the Arid Raceway, and it basically is a very different than a swimming pool. It has a shallow end, which is kind of like a wading pool, but it's only ankle deep. And then it has a deep end, which is a deeper canal. And we shift the water back and forth between the shallow end and the deep canal, mainly to help us keep the temperature up during the cooler months. And so it really establishes a much better algae culture and growth conditions by elevating the temperature, especially in the wintertime. And then we can also sidestep the extreme heat in the summer by putting the algae in the deep end, just as you would, it would be equivalent to putting it into a shade.
You have competitors, no doubt about it, in corn and some of the other things that are used as the base for producing ethanol. When it comes to algae, what's the ratio of algae to fuel production? I'm coming at this question from the perspective of, it's been said that if you took the entire arable acreage of the United States and converted it to corn, and took every ear of corn that was grown on that and tried to convert it into ethanol, you still would fall short of meeting the national fuel requirement for gasoline to run cars and trucks and power plants and everything else that we use petroleum fuels for. How does algae answer that ratio?
In the big picture, corn is really an interesting component of renewable fuels, in that ethanol derived from the corn uses less than 10% of the corn kernel. And so the other 90% goes to animal feed. And so, you know, really, it's not a true picture just saying that the corn is just used solely for ethanol production. Because most of these operations that produce ethanol, like Pinnell Energy up in Maricopa, are situated adjacent to either a dairy or a large-scale commercial production, beef production. And so, but oil or energy-wise, you're talking about 50 gallons of ethanol per acre of corn that you grow.
Okay.
And when you talk about algae oil production, you're probably talking about 5,000 gallons of oil per acre per year.
That's a huge difference.
Yes, it is. And that's kind of why their push to go into algae production is so sustained and has such great economic and environmental potential.
But the squeeze comes in rendering the oil out of the algae. Isn't that where you sort of lose the competitive edge, because that production ratio is enormous?
Well, it's not actually extracting the oil that is a hurdle that has to be overcome. It's maintaining production 360 days a year. And I'm giving you 5 days for other breakdowns and cleaning and those types of things. And so, you know, maintaining this steady supply of algae production is really important in the sustained operation. There's a lot of other technical issues. Other algaes invade and they take over, just like weeds.
So this is like one strain that you're trying to get?
Yeah, and you use a specific strain because you want something that'll start off with hopefully between about 20% oil content, and which is, you know, like a peanut is about 40% oil content.
Okay. But you said you have other strains that invade the pond, and you have
just like weeds invade a field. You know, corn has to be agriculturally maintained. We have to do the same thing, as understand how to keep the invaders from getting in there. And just like corn, where you might have insects that eat the corn, we have insects or small organisms that eat the algae and cause major problems. We call them grazers. And so we're trying to understand how to manage those in the same way that agriculture manages pests in their fields.
Arizona isn't alone in its effort. Who are some of the other organizations that are essentially our competitors, I guess, to the University of Arizona program? There's an Israeli program?
Israeli has a really strong program. They've been producing algae for probably about 30 years consistently for specialty chemicals and colorants and those types of things. And they use a lot of wastewater and salt water for their production. And, of course, they have no fuels production in Israel at all. So they're very keen on how to replace some of their transportation fuels.
What kind of water does the algae production require? Because if you're going to tell me it's fresh water, you have a major fight on your hand right here in Arizona.
Well, it does. You can grow algae in basically any type of oil or any type of water out there. It grows really well in fresh water, and we would like to see our operations use reclaimed water. But I don't know that there's enough reclaimed water to meet the algae production that may be scale up in all of Arizona. And so there may be some conversion of agricultural programs, which use a substantial amount of water for cotton and alfalfa, and they may convert that into agricultural production.
But if you can talk a farmer into growing algae instead of growing cotton because it's economical, there wouldn't be any argument, would there?
I don't think there would be much of an argument. Everybody always wants to make sure that they're not getting into something that's going to, you know, take their shirt away. And, you know, we saw a lot of that back 10 years ago, or actually 25 years ago, with some of the oil production that was coming from jojoba.
Oh, right. Yeah, if you drive on Interstate 8 between Tacna and Yuma, you can see the abandoned jojoba plantations that were going to be the salvation of the sperm whale.
That's exactly right.
You're trying to avoid something like that with the algae.
Yeah,
production.
We want to have a good, solid science program that is deliverable to the algae community, the farming community.
So one of the questions that we need to get back to is, you said how much acreage would it take of algae production? Do you have an estimate to meet the fuel needs of the United States?
Well, I've seen really interesting components on what they predict from the Department of Energy, and it appears that about a quarter of the state of Arizona would provide all of the renewable or all the fuels needed for the transportation industry. Just from a quarter of the state of Arizona, if you used algae production.
The land mass, if it were converted. Well, that's an interesting picture, but what it would be doing would be other parts of the country too, right?
Correct.
Yeah. There have been some successes. The Navy flew a helicopter last week that had algae biofuels as part of the mixture in the gas tanks. So our guest has been Randy Ryan, who's the assistant director of the algae program, the algae fuels program at the University of Arizona. Briefly, real quick, where can people get more information on this if they want more information?
They can contact myself at the University of Arizona, and my email address is ryan@ag.arizona.edu.
Super. Thank you. We'll be back after this.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET. The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Okay, we're back. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster today. Bill is taking some time off with a long weekend in Santa Fe, and as I said before, getting snowed on. I can't think of anybody who deserves it more. Our guest right now, Dr. Julian Ackerley, who is the director of the Tucson Boys Chorus, and we have Bill Beard, who's a former chorister. Sing for us. give us an A.
A.
Yeah, we're talking on a different note, and I have to make that terrible, terrible pun on that, but the Tucson Boys Chorus is getting into your high season now when you're in a lot of demand and a lot of performances, a lot of things going on. So I'll toss it out there and you can tell us what we need to look forward to.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tom. The Boys Chorus has started our program for the 2011-2012 season. And it will be kicked off with a big gala event coming up on November the 12th. It's our annual Music Gallery Gal. And this year, the theme is Music of the Night, which features the music of Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber from...
I wonder why.
from some great shows. We're going to be doing representations of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, great one. Yes. And one of the underappreciated musicals by him, too. Yeah.
And the other mega musicals is Cats and Phantom of the Opera, Evita, and Whistle Down the Wind. So it promises to be a great evening that we want to invite all the community to participate in. But one of the things that is new to the Music Gallery Gal this year is our partnership with the American Parkinson Disease Association. They are going to be the honored group at Music Gallery Gal. And, of course, their whole mission and purpose is to ease the burden and find the cure for Parkinson's disease. And so it is a great opportunity for our boys, who we train to be servant leaders, to partner up with another organization that does some wonderful things in our community and throughout Arizona.
So if I want to go to the thing, to the event on November 12th, the yes. kickoff, how do I get tickets and where will it be and where will I park my car? And
sure. The event is going to be at the University of Arizona Student Union Ballroom, and your car can be valet parked, as we will have Avenue's Valet out there to take care of all of the car parking. Just go south on Mountain to 2nd Street, right up to the Student Union, and there's a turnaround there, and you'll be taken care of. Tickets are available through our office or online, and our website is www.boyschorus.org, pretty easy to remember, and of course, our phone is 296-6277.
So for those of us on a budget... Tickets cost, general range?
The ticket price is $150. It includes, of course, the welcoming event, which is a silent auction and complimentary champagne and cocktails, a gourmet dinner, performance by the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus.
So this is more than just sit and listen.
Oh yes, this is a big event. It is a gala event that is now in its 17th year. So it's become a part of the tradition of these types of events here in the fall time for Tucson.
Bill, when did you sing with the chorus?
Back in the early 70s. Jeff Haskell was the director at the time, was one of the last groups that was downtown at the Temple of Music and Art and one of the first groups at the current location at 5770 East Pima. So was a member of the chorus during a transition time. But, one of the things I look back on in my time with the chorus was the things that really can change a young man's life as they move forward into their, past adolescence, into their young adulthood, and even later in life. I've had the opportunity many times to talk to former choristers, and especially the parents of current choristers today and parents of choristers from the years it passed. And almost to a single person, they all come back to the same basic idea. Julian was mentioning the idea of building servant leaders, and the music part of the Tucson Boys Chorus experience is vital. It is something that allows young men to really explore parts of themselves that otherwise they wouldn't get the opportunity to do. But when you look at the community building things, the citizenship, the ability to understand simple things like there are consequences to actions. If you prepare yourself for something like a performance, how that carries through the rest of your life, understanding that by doing well in your preparation, it pays off, in ways you can't even quantify, for rewarding you in a sense of well-being and in a sense of financial, because you are prepared. You look forward to things in life that you wouldn't otherwise do. And one of the things I keep coming back to with the Tucson Boys Chorus is the Boys Chorus is not just about the music. It's about the entire experience. And whether you're, an 8 or 10 year old young boy that, mom and dad are wondering, what is this kid ever going to do when he grows up? They put them into through the program at the Tucson Boys Chorus. And, most young men, when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, some of them have difficulty even walking across the room without tripping over themselves. But it's amazing what the program can do to those young men by showing them through preparation and whatnot how they can actually perform and entertain an entire audience of not just their friends and relatives, but complete strangers.
People who paid money to come.
And those are the kinds of things that both the young men that go through the program and their parents, they keep coming back to those things, same things. It's not just the music, it's the entire experience. And the thing about the Musicale Regale that I like the most is it's to raise funds for those young men that, regardless of what their financial circumstances are, they have the opportunity to participate with the Tucson Boys Chorus.
So, for example, you have someone who really can't afford to go on a national or international tour with the Boys Chorus. Does this provide the money to help them go? If
we have a very generous scholarship program that's named after our founder, the Eduardo Caso Memorial Scholarship Fund. And this particular event is to help with chorister assistance. And it's partnered, as I mentioned earlier, with the American Parkinson Disease Association. So it's a gala that is going to be sharing. But yes, there is financial assistance available for young families and boys.
From Bill's enthusiasm, it seems like you have a terrific opportunity for an alumni association here.
Yes.
For the Tucson Boys Chorus. Is there such an organization? Do you have?
It is. As part of our organization, there is an alumni component, and the alumni actually come together at our Pops concert, which is in May, and come to sing again, join together and sing with the boys. We also have a young men's ensemble, which goes through the whole year, which is high school and college level. So our core group is as young as 8 all the way up through college level.
So in the minute that we have left, let's recap. We've got the kickoff event for the season, November 12th.
That is correct.
Will you be at the San Javier?
Yes, we are.
Again this Christmas?
Yes. The community can look forward to the series of concerts at San Javier. We'll also be doing our annual holiday concert, too, which is on Saturday, December the 17th. So lots of opportunities.
And people who need information, there's a website where you can get it?
www.boyschorus.org.
Super. Our guest, Dr. Julian Ackerley, director of the Tucson Boys Chorus, and Bill Beard, enthusiastic board member and former chorister. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A Greek opposition leader has called on the prime minister to resign and has led his party in a dramatic walkout during a parliamentary debate about the viability of the government. President Obama, at a summit in France of the leading economies of the world, is telling European leaders that they must work quickly to get a rescue plan to solve their debt crisis. Republican presidential hopeful Michelle Bachmann says the Wall Street protesters need to stop blaming capitalism and instead should focus their frustration against Washington and the federal policies. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is higher along with the NASDAQ and the S&P. The blue chip index is up about 205 points. More details at srnnews.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. For the rest of the show, we have, I guess you need to say, the legendary Dr. John Arnold of Project PPAP, and we also have Randy Kempton, who's the superintendent of the PPAP Tech High School. Dr. Arnold, one question for somebody who maybe just moved into the Southern Arizona area. What does PPAP stand for? What's the acronym?
Well, actually, it's Portable Practical Educational Preparation, and the portable came from, we started back in 1967 of an old church bus ministry. we started a school on wheels. So it was portable, practical education, and we had school, basically adult school at that time for the Bracero migrant workers. So portable, and what we taught aboard the bus was practical education to prepare people, you know, to be in our community.
You actually went out into the fields and talked to the workers,
exactly.
The classes and the curriculum?
Exactly, and it all started because when I was 6 years old, we were living in Pennsylvania, and my father came in one morning and said, by the way, we're moving to Guadalajara. And of course, as a six-year-old, I went and packed my little box and thought that was right down the street. And I found out that when I got there, the people did not speak the same language. They did not. The religion was there very different, and the culture. And so I learned a lot. And when I came back here, 12 years old, I was in a church bus ministry at a Government Heights Baptist Church. And we used to go out to the labor camps, and there was the Bracero migrant workers, and I would interpret the scripture and so forth. When I was 16, I had my own church bus, did that for 10 years. And then after that, the Kennedy Johnson War on Poverty came. We got $19,000, and we bought the bus that I mentioned a moment ago, the La Tortuga. Was a 57 Chevy school bus.
There's a picture of it on your website.
Exactly. And I was a driver, mechanic, and teacher. We had a great time on that. And PEP, 45 years later, we just had our 45th anniversary board meeting, and we were reflecting with the bus. The bus is still there.
Is it still around?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Matter of fact, all the Christian stations had their meeting there, the owners recently, and we have the old bus. It's a museum now recognized by the Smithsonian Institute. It's over at 802 East 46th Street. It's free to go into, and it's a wonderful collection of memorabilia and honor to the migrant and seasonal farm workers, the people that harvest the fields and put the food on our table.
Well, the program has certainly grown in 45 years. You're a major employer in Arizona.
We're the 92nd largest employer.
What are some of the other things that you've done now that you've expanded into?
Well, the Small Business Administration recognizes us as the intermediary lender for 67% of the state. We have actually made microloans. Microloans are for very, very small business. We call mom and pop stores where you can come in, not only get...
Well, the SBA definition of small business is really kind of
tiny.
Well, I mean, they're micro businesses, but the Small Business Administration says small business is somebody with under 200 employees. Well,
we say under five employees.
Under five, right.
But you know, sometimes it's very interesting that according to the national statistics, probably 70% of the businesses in the United States are five employees or less, and that's a real backbone.
And certainly under $200 million.
Exactly, and usually under $25,000 is what we would work with, but we can make larger loans to people that, you know, they graduate from a smaller loan to another loan. You might ask, well, what kind of loan would you give? Well, we have a number of single-parent moms that do sewing. You know, they do piecework for shirts, and they make garments, wedding dresses, quinceanera dresses, mm-hmm. and maybe they'll need a commercial sewing machine. So we'd make a loan for that. Well, that might be an example of, and how then the daughter can work on the old machine, and the mother can work on the other. And so it's how the common denominator of business really starts in this country.
So you have the micro lending program, but once you've loaned them the money, don't you have a program to help sort of coach them through business success?
Yeah, this is really wonderful. We have webinars. We have actually something going on with Pima College right this week, and where families come in, and or they can we help them out with a laptop, and the business can keep up with the training necessary. And we're talking about marketing, business plans, and technical assistance needed to get through these more difficult times.
And how do you translate what PPAP has been able to do in rural areas into a more urban setting? Have you managed to do that over the course of the 45-year history of the organization?
I think we have. A lot of farm workers do transition. They come into farm work. We may see them going out and working into the restaurant and the hotel trades, or they do that part of the year because it's seasonal work. So we see that kind of transition. We also see urban people moving to the rural area. So we have it going both ways because the quality of life is still there. I live in Patagonia on the weekends, and my mother has Grace's Gift and Candle Shop. We have the Day of the Dead Museum down there, and I just love to go down to Patagonia on the weekends and hang out, because it's a whole different quality of life.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. Arnold, you can call us at 790-2040. That's our talk line. Let me ask, you've gone to now from a program in a bus with mm-hmm. migrant workers to actual high school. Now, let me ask Randy Kempton, who is the superintendent of the high school. Is it a charter school? Give us a brief description of the school.
Yeah, it's a public charter school. We serve primarily at-risk youth. We currently operate 9 sites in 5 different counties. We have 3
wow.
in the Tucson area. And we've graduated over 3,100 students since 1995.
What's the graduation rate? Is it?
It hovers anywhere between 25 to 50%. Because many of the students that come to us are, again, you know, since we serve an at-risk population, these are students that many of them come to us, for example, they're 18 years old.
Where the risk comes to fruition.
Yes. You know, they'll come to us at 18, 19 years old. They've had big breaks in their educational experience. They should have already graduated. So they come to us and we help them get through to get a diploma and get on with life.
That must take a different approach than most educational outreach programs. How does it differ?
Well, most of our sites are fairly small. We have sites anywhere from 50 kids in them to the largest site is here in South Tucson at about 300 kids. So as a result, you really get to know the kids intimately. You get to know their families. You get to, you know, you know when they're having a bad day. You know their friends. You know when things are happening in their life. So you, you know, you just get a close relationship with the kids.
Does that help increase the opportunities for success for those?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because then kids feel like you really care about them. You know, you get some great schools out there, but a lot of them are big schools. And a lot of times I think kids feel like they're kind of just, you know, just another kid, just another number. They don't feel like a person.
And you've been able to overcome that feeling in most of them.
Yes, because of our small setting. And again, we get to know our students on a pretty intimate level.
Because of those gaps, what kind of curriculum?
Well, we have the regular curriculum that everybody else has. We've got our 8 core classes that the state requires in English, math, social studies, and science. And we also have several electives that the kids can choose from. A lot of our electives are student-driven, you know. We do have some standard ones that all the schools use, but they're also site-specific or teacher-specific or really kid-specific electives. For example, if some kids want to get together and get a guitar class together, we'll go out, try to find a teacher for them. We'll put together a curriculum, you know, submit it to the director of curriculum, make sure the kids are doing enough hours to constitute getting credit for it, and we'll, you know, build the class for them.
Okay, and you're in 5 counties. Which counties in Arizona?
They're in Cochise, Pima, Pinal, Maricopa, and Yuma.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that.
Go ahead, Dr. I was just going to say, you know, PepTech is a public charter school, so there's no charge. We're very proud because of our very highly qualified and direct instruction that we do. A lot of parents are under the false impression that just because their student is doing well in school with all their coursework and they come down to the end of 4 years and they don't get a diploma, and that's because they didn't pass the AIMS test. So there's been the other extreme. Some schools just teach to take the test and kids don't learn anything. So our trademark is that we give a good, sound education. Our teachers are highly qualified. And we do prepare them for the AIMS. So this is a very important thing for parents to be looking at. Is your kid really going to graduate? It's not just getting the good report card. It's passing the AIMS test.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I guess. Yeah. And in the 45 years that PPAP has been around, you've been imitated. I was reading that the government of Thailand has taken an interest.
Yes, and actually
the way PPAP is structured and sort of replicating it there?
Exactly, and not only there, but in Nigeria, Warri, Nigeria, we have a school called the John David Arnold Academy for Success, and there's actually one in Ghana as well called the Arnold Center for Excellence. And these are schools that are something like our own that give us an opportunity to give kids an open window to the world. And recently we had Tahi Selassie, the ambassador from Ethiopia came and visited our school here in Tucson, talked to our kids, and we've been invited to go over into that community. And so we feel that as an organization, we can always give back to our community and we can share our models.
PPAP is one of the hidden treasures, really, that Tucson has. And if, for example, I wanted to volunteer, is there a way I could contact you and volunteer? Do you have opportunities?
Yes, we do. And our website, the ppep.org, that's PeterEdwardPeter.org, we have some opportunities that are there. And we have also in Ghana, Nigeria, some wonderful opportunities, dormitories and places where people can go in the summers and in the year can go. We formed this West African Rural Empowerment Society. We have four members of that, and that is going forward and making the opportunities you just mentioned certainly available to young people and as adults as well.
Super. And you can reach PPEP on the web at PPEP.org. Oh, and we should close by acknowledging the fact that you have been elevated to royalty.
Yes. I'm Bloti Omoboyo III, which means Father Patriot, and it's an honorary title in that community, but also it comes with a lot of warmth and heartfelt. I can't tell you how much I feel at home with people in Ghana and Nigeria. They're wonderful people, and it's been a great blessing to share.
This was conferred on you in Nigeria, in Ghana?
In Ghana, actually, in January. It was kind of about a couple thousand people, and I was carried around on shoulders and all kinds of ceremonial, and I got tattooed with all kinds of stuff and got re-robed, I guess you could say, and it was a wonderful experience. But it also gives you an insight in how grateful people are.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to seeing that maybe on your website or on YouTube or something like that. Our guests have been Dr. John Arnold of PPEP and Randy Kempton, who's the superintendent of the PPEP Tech High School. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
There are times when you save, And there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill, who's taking some well-deserved time off. We've got Dr. John Arnold, the Chief Executive Officer and founder of PPEP, in the studio, along with Randy Kempton, who is the superintendent of PPEP Tech High School. And before the break, Randy, we kind of gave you short shift here. But one of the things about the high school is that it's as an outreach program for adults, right? Also?
Well, at our school down in Yuma County, we have students who attend during the day, and then their parents attend school in the evening to get their GED.
Wow, so they can check and make sure each other got the right homework assignment.
Yeah, there you go.
But PEP Tech is the official high school diploma itself. The kids get the same high school diploma as you would get at TUSD.
And some of the other programs that are available that set PEP Tech apart. You said there were some things that you wanted to mention about the curriculum.
I want to talk about the schedule. We've got a really flexible schedule for the kids. They come Monday through Thursday. If they come Monday through Thursday for their 6 hours a day, Fridays can be used as to get involved in our accelerated educational opportunities. In other words, they can earn credits and additional classes. I know a lot of students want to get on with their life, and they want to come in and get that diploma and get a job, get in the military.
Are these folks who realize maybe they didn't do themselves a favor by dropping out of school a couple of years ago?
Right. It's also very valuable for students who, like we were talking about earlier, that are 18 and are credit deficient. They can come in and work on additional coursework on Fridays if they've made up all their time.
Now, they get an actual diploma, not a GED. Is that correct?
That's correct. Charter schools are public schools, and so they have to do the same curriculum. We do offer a credit and a half, what we call school to work. But our night school is extremely important for working parents. We get a lot of referrals from the various high schools around town. We have people that have dropped out. Many kids are having to drop out to not only feed themselves, but their parents who might be unemployed. Or we have single-parent moms that can't afford daycare during the day. But at night, there's other people that can watch the kids, so they come to school. So they're getting their official high school diploma with us. And I think that's a great thing. We also have an online school called Arizona Virtual Academy. We have almost 5,000 students that study K through 12. And these kids are virtual. Their teachers are virtual, and it's called the ArizonaVirtualAcademy.org. People can go on in. All of these are free because they are public schools.
Are the 5,000 students mostly Arizonans that are online?
They're all Arizonans, yes. And we have kids that are on chemotherapy. We have kids who have maybe dropped out because of health reasons or had to ride a long ways up on the Navajo reservation to school 3 or 4 hours a day. And so for many reasons, parents have decided that online education is for their students.
Teenage pregnancy, for example?
So, yes, that's another thing. But we find we have one young girl that that was the national bowling champion, and she had her laptop in the bleachers with her dad while she was waiting to bowl. So, I mean, athletes, kids with very special needs, singing, dancing, and have to be on a road, this is a wonderful opportunity for them.
Randy, is there any kind of vocational component also? In the-
we have, like Dr. Earn was talking about, we've got our school-to-career curriculum. It's comprised of a computer technology course and also career exploration. In the computer technology, they learn how to, you know, use a keyboard and work on Microsoft Office applications, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And then the career exploration, kids learn to write resumes. They participate in job shadowing, practice interviewing skills. They research career options, apply, you know, learn how to apply for colleges, fill out financial aid forms.
Yeah. In the rural areas, sometimes internet access is kind of dicey, you know, even to get it, much less to get the high-speed connections that are perhaps necessary. How do you overcome that particular glitch or problem? Or do you, if somebody doesn't have the, wants to use the internet but doesn't have the computer, are there loan programs?
Well, the Arizona Virtual Academy does provide, when it's necessary, laptops and things for them. As far as the internet access, we're very fortunate in all the areas that we are operating in now. We have excellent internet connection. But there is one program that when we have kids that drop out over in Yuma County, it's called Youth Build. We have right now about 20 kids that have totally dropped out of everything. And we bring them in, and we work with a developer, and they build a house from scratch. We have a lot. They build the whole house, and then they donate it to a low-income family. And through that Youth Build project in Yuma, we have actually built 70 homes and renovated 70 homes. And we've put over 150 kids an opportunity for them to, and also we co-enroll them in Arizona Western College, so they're getting a trade certificate at the same time then they get their GED. But our mainline program that Randy is with, we are a public high school, and they're getting a regular high school diploma. But I just want to emphasize to parents, be very sure that their kids are getting highly qualified instruction and that they're getting a very strong tutoring on the AIMS test. Another thing is, because we live in an area where we have a lot of immigrants. I remember when I went to Mexico as a kid, I had nobody to interpret. Well, we have a very strong English language learner program. The state of Arizona looks at us as one of the top programs. So we have 9,000 refugees here in Tucson, Arizona, from all the countries of the world. So we look at ourselves for the refugee community with open doors to help these people assimilate. Because, as I mentioned, I could identify that having been educated abroad.
Sure. And the language school is located where?
It's actually a class called English Language Learner Program. It's sanctioned under the state of Arizona. And it's specifically for people that come in with language areas. And they come in and we have the Rosetta Stone and other things. And we have a lab with computers and earphones. And then they parallels and they shadow them into where they can move into the mainline courses that we have.
Now, of course, none of this happened in a vacuum in Arizona. What other organizations, agencies, unions, organizations like that have you partnered with?
Well,
do you have partners with?
Yeah, the K-12 Inc., that's the program. It's the largest online school in the country. They do all of our curriculum. It's called K-12 Inc., very simply. And they have a wonderful curriculum. Right now we're doing with HR Block. We have this called Tax Mobile. It's a mobile unit coming out to our school. They're coming in teaching our kids how to do checking and banking and taxes and resumes.
Nobody teaches that stuff anymore.
No. And we're doing mock interviews. They have some jobs that for the tax season these kids will do. And then on the 19th at our facility on 1840 East Benson Highway, we'll be having a whole day there. Our whole campus will be surrounded by booths. We'll be, this tax mobile unit will be there, and people will be able to come in and get a tax checkup. It'll be a festive thing. We have a lot of performers coming in, and there'll be some PSAs, I know, coming down on that. But it's a wonderful opportunity to open the school up to the community.
You said H&R Block is going to be?
H&R Block, yeah. And I, they have what they call a tax mobile. It's a big van that comes out, and it also has a bilingual capability. And yesterday I was over at our school at Benson High when they were doing this whole class on financial and kids learning to have a how to have a checkbook and how to do a resume and all the things that they need to do to get a job. Because at the end of the day, if our diploma doesn't get kids ready for a job, then what are we doing?
Well, you're doing something right to have been around 45 years. Dr. John Arnold, founder and chief executive officer of PPEP, and Randy Kempton, superintendent of the Tech High School, thank you so much for joining us here on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
And the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Once again, I said Bill is on vacation, getting some well-deserved time off. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for joining us.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.